Today's scripture is Matthew chapter 13, verse 44. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in the field, which a man found and hid again, and from joy over it he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Amen.
Dear brothers and sisters, the contents of today's message is about treasure. When I was young, there were many fairy tales or cartoons about finding treasures. So I was imagining that I wanted to have a treasure map and start the journey to look for the treasure. And I was imagining how wonderful it would be. In front of my, beside my bed was a big world map. And probably the parents, they hung it for me so that I would dream about working in the world. But I was imagining that somewhere in this world, in this map, there could be some treasures that were hidden by some pirates. Sometimes I had a dream. I had dreams. In the dreams, I went into the world map and looking for treasures. So the moment I found it and tried to have it, there were some skeletons or other monsters that were chasing me. And I ran and I fell off and I would wake up in my bed. I often had this kind of dream. But of course, as I grew up, I stopped having such a dream, childish dreams. But I'm fulfilling this dream of finding the treasure now. Are you finding and getting this treasure? If you remember this message of the senior pastor about the treasure hidden in the field, you'd probably have said yes. And this treasure cannot be compared with any treasure or honor or money of the world. So it was the treasure hidden in the field that the senior pastor preached in 1998. So I'll deliver the message with the title, Sell All That You Have. I hope you will realize, you'll find the treasure and realize the way to possess it. In a village, there was a poor farmer who was working, making ends meet day after day. One day he went to work for somebody, and there was a barren land that the owner of that place just left it. So he suggested the farmer work the land. So he was plowing it, and at the tip of the shovel, he felt something hard. So he kept on digging, and it was a box that was filled with treasures. And this farmer was so happy to have found this treasure box, and he wanted to have it. And eventually he decided to buy the land. So, because he was poor, he didn't have enough money to buy it, but he sold everything, his house and everything else he had, and he probably could have bought this piece of land. So he, right at the moment, he went to his house and began to sell whatever was worth, anything. So he sold everything that he had to prepare the money to buy this field that had this hidden treasure. This is a parable. And hearing this, you shouldn't think, if you find a treasure, you should probably inform the owner. But of course, if you pick up a lost item, you have to report it to the police or return it to the owner. But this parable is about the farmer that sold everything he had, all that he had, to buy this treasure. And it's And actually, in Israel, in old times, because there were so many battles, sometimes they would bury their treasures in the field and somebody else would find it. So understanding this background, I hope you will understand the spiritual meaning of this message. So heaven is like the treasure hidden in the field. So spiritually, field is our heart and heaven is, the treasure is heaven. So the heaven is hidden in our heart. So how is heaven hidden in our heart? When Senior Pastor was explaining about this, there were so many spiritual meanings, also of wide range of spiritual knowledge. So probably newcomers or new believers, it might be difficult for them to understand. Probably they are not familiar with so many terms here, but I hope you will try to understand. Men are composed of spiritual and body. God made Adam from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. That was the power of God. And this power of God was breathed into man, and man became a living spirit. So now, man had this spirit who is the master, that is the master of man, and soul that is controlled by spirit, and the body to hold for the spirit and soul. At first, spirit was the master, so man communicated with God, and he was the Lord of all creation. He had the power to rule over everything. But because of his disobedience to the word of God, by committing the sin of eating from the tree, the forbidden fruit, the spirit came to die, the master. Dying doesn't mean it disappeared. It means communication with God was severed, and soul became the master. So the spirit was confined in the soul, and it became like dead. So because a man became a man of soul, the truth began to leak out from the heart one by one. And instead, man was filled with the untruths that came through soul. So they became eventually men of soul, and they followed the lust of man. And because soul is controlled by enemy devil and Satan, the more time passed, the more people became like less than animals. So the order between spirit, soul, and body was broken, and they lost the whole duty of man. So God of love prepared Jesus Christ and sent him to this earth to redeem us from sins. So Jesus, he let him die on the cross, shedding his blood. Because of that, we were set free from the sin, and the way of salvation was opened. So when we realize this love of the Lord and accept Jesus Christ, God gives us the Holy Spirit as a gift. As the Holy Spirit comes into our heart, we become God's children, and we receive the right to become the children of God. Our dead spirit is revived. As we become the children of God, heaven comes into our heart. This is to realize the treasure hidden in the field. This is the spiritual meaning. So, the farmer who realized this treasure in the field must have been rejoicing. As our dead spirit is revived, we are also filled with joy. So, to rejoice after finding the treasure is that after accepting the Lord, we realize that we have heaven in our heart and we are filled with joy. Just as the farmer rejoiced after finding the treasure, if we accept the Lord, we are filled with the joy of salvation and joy of heaven. So you also remember, I believe, the joy of the first love. I sometimes remember the joy of meeting the Lord for the first time. Before I came to this church, I went to a summer retreat, and I experienced the Holy Spirit there in a summer retreat of another church. And I didn't know exactly why Jesus is our Savior, but because I realized the love of the Lord, and I was shedding tears and runny nose for so many days, giving thanks to the love of the Lord. And for about a year in my college, after meeting the Lord, I was so filled with joy because I was now free in college. I was an adult. There were so many temptations of the world, but I didn't want to try any of that. And even those who are giving me a hard time, I didn't hate them because my heart was filled with heavenly kingdom. I didn't need anything. I didn't want anything else. Any of the worldly things couldn't come into my heart because I was so filled with the joy of finding the treasure. Of course, the joy of first love was great, but I had the time to realize, find greater treasure. One time I lost the first love and was wandering around looking for the love of the Lord. And after I came to this church through the holiness gospel, I realized I found heavenly kingdom once again. And that joy was greater than the joy of first love because I realized the true value of the treasure now. Of course, the joy was great to meet the Lord for the first time, but I thought it was just one box of treasure. But I realized that the treasure, so much treasure was hidden, so many boxes of treasure was hidden in the field that I couldn't spend it all in my lifetime. Of course, it's because I realized the love of the Father who welcomes the prodigal son. But more than anything else, I realized about New Jerusalem where the Father God is dwelling, and I could go there. So I realized I found a treasure that couldn't be compared with anything else in the past. That's why I was giving thanks with tears, even on the streets. And my mouth was filled with a praise of thanksgiving. It's not only about me. All of you, I believe, have had the joy of realizing New Jerusalem through the shepherd. Just by meeting the Lord and being saved, it's such great joy. But the deep love of the joy of hearing the holiness gospel, the gospel of power, where you learn about the deep love of the Father who leads us to salvation and the ways to recover the lost image of God. We have a sister in my parish. Her mother is a senior deaconess of another church. That senior deaconess is serving her church well, but because the message of the senior pastor is so good, she sends her daughter to my main church. One time I met her, and she was telling me her pastor was good. You know, he forsook all his wealth and family and fame, and he just focuses on the work of God, and he loves the flock very much. And everybody in the church receives the other tongue, and they are filled with the Holy Spirit. So she thought her church was better. But as time went, she realized that it was only that much. It was to that extent only. And they didn't have the holiness gospel to let us realize the depth of our heart. So even though they were full of spirit, after some time, their spiritual growth stops and they couldn't grow up anymore. So eventually she came to long for this message of holiness even more. We had a member who passed away recently in my parish, and his son-in-law is a pastor of another denomination, pastoring in another area. And her son-in-law was listening to senior pastor's message, as had been listening to senior pastor's messages. And the fact was known to his denomination that he was listening to our senior pastor's messages. And because of that, he had some difficulties. There could be some persecutions too, because of some misunderstanding there in that denomination. But he is still listening to these messages with longing. So one time I came to this this pastor because of this because funeral. And this pastor was telling me he had a dream that he wanted to become a servant of spirit. So we briefly had some spiritual conversation, and he was telling me he delivered this senior pastor's messages to one of his colleagues, pastors. And that pastor's spiritual eyes are open, and he could see angels too. And he said, this secret is so great that he must have gone through some persecutions too. Do you know that we are finding such precious treasure which can't be compared with anything? And so this farmer who found out this treasure just went back. Why? Because he didn't have the power to buy the field. So what is the spiritual meaning hidden in it? After the dead spirit being revived, you know, you want to live by the word of God. But because you don't have the power to live by the word of God, you can't show it in action yet. Once we accept the Lord, we know there is heavenly kingdom. But knowing there is heavenly kingdom and knowing the way to go doesn't mean we can go there. We can't practice the word of God as we hear it. So we have to sell out the hearts of untruths that are in us, and we have to have try to have the heart of truth so we can dig out this treasure. Senior pastor gave this parable. You know that Seoul National University is good, but you can't go there just because you know it is good. You have to try that hard to get into that college. So even if you know that there is New Jerusalem, and even if you know it is good, you can't go there. You can possess heaven to the extent that you practice the word of God and dig out the treasure. Just as in today's to the extent that you cultivate your heart with the truth, you can take hold of heavenly kingdom by force. First kingdom of heaven and second kingdom of heaven, and so on. So seeing so many powerful works that prove this gospel is true, most of you, I believe, almost all of you, believe that the words of the shepherd are correct and true. You know that the secret of going to heavenly kingdom, possessing heavenly kingdom. And most of you probably confess that you want to go to New Jerusalem, but without the effort, you can't possess it. Senior pastor once said, you know there is a piece of gold as big as a soccer ball in Busan, and to get it, you can't travel by any other means of transportation, but you have to walk. Of course, it's hard, but if you can just possess that gold, that piece of gold, then you don't have to worry about money for the rest of your life. Then you will, even though it takes so many days, you will at least bring it back, you know, by kicking it because it's round. Matthew 7:21 says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven will enter." To make the treasure that you found as yours, you have to practice the word, and to gain the strength to practice, you have to pray. You shouldn't just realize the word, but to be able to digest the word and practice it, you have to pray. If you're blessed by the message, but if you don't pray, it's like you are eating so many good foods, so many kinds of good foods, but because you can't digest it, you throw it up, or you get a diarrhea or something. You get indigestion. So, not just attending service, but when you actually pray, true Christian life begins. So let me repeat. So true Christian life begins not when you start attending worship service, but when you start praying. Listening to this message, you know that, oh, it's good, it's blessing, you're blessed. And if you still can't pray, I ask you, I hope that you will begin to pray so that you can gain the strength to dig out the treasure in your heart. Dear brothers and sisters, the farmer that went back after hiding the treasure sold everything he had to buy the field. And this means that for the revived spirit to become the master again, you have to break the soul. So, selling everything to buy the field means that for the revived spirit to become the master again, you have to break the soul. Before we accepted the Lord, the soul was playing the role of the master of man. Because of disobedience of Adam, man became a man of soul. And because man of soul is controlled by enemy devil and Satan, they obey enemy devil. Spirit is confined in the soul. So, we have to break the soul that has been playing the role of the master so that the spirit can become the master again. It's like for the chicken to come out of the egg, it has to break the egg first. To the extent that the spirit is revived, you can live, you can gain the strength to live by the word of God. And only then will you possess the heaven inside the heart. So to possess heaven, you have to sell all that you have, break the soul, and try to become a man of spirit. And to break the soul, you have to sell all that you have. So how can you sell all that you have? Conclusively speaking, you have to cast away things of the flesh, things of the works of the flesh, and whatever you love more than God, whatever is not pleasing in the sight of God. 1 Thessalonians 5:23 says, "Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you entirely, and may your spirit and soul and body be preserved complete without blame at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." So whole spirit, to accomplish whole spirit and to be preserved is the will of God. The whole spirit is to have the characters of Jesus Christ and to have the heart of God. So to cultivate this kind of heart that God wants, we have to sell everything we have. And first of all, we have to cast away works of the flesh. Works of the flesh is the outward appearance of the evil inside your heart. Those who commit these sins will not go to heaven. Once I recently I met with a person outside the church, and talking to her, I talked about adultery, and it's evil. And she was surprised. Why is it evil? So I was surprised again. Of course. And I said, wouldn't you normally consider it evil? And because the world is so full of evil, she was asking me back, how come it's evil? So I said, those who practice these things will not inherit the kingdom of God. And she was very surprised. Is it in the Bible? So I'll read it out for you. Galatians 5:19. And on. Now the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envying, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these, of which I forewarn you, just as I forewarned you, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Of course, just by committing these sins once or twice, it doesn't mean you will fall into hell right away. But if you say you are a believer and keep on committing these sins, then it means you're not going to inherit the kingdom of God. So these are the works of the flesh that are committed in inaction. Then next, you have to cast away things of the flesh. These are the things that are in your heart, although it's not seen as action. You know, having lust, seeing a woman means you committed adultery with her in heart. And 1 John 3:15 says, everyone who hits his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. So, the lust, the sinful natures in the heart are also the things that you have to cast away. If you have hatred, it'll grow up. And it can even come out as murder. So murder and hate are the same thing. It has the same root of evil. So, the works of the flesh, things of the flesh, and whatever is not pleasing the sight of God, when you cast away these things, you can break your soul. So, let me talk about whatever is not pleasing in the sight of God in more detail. Do you know that there is evil in your conscience? Most mommy members, even little children, they would know that there is evil in your conscience too. But the pastors in other countries, you know, I heard from a pastor who is preaching to pastors in other countries when he said that you have to cast away evil in your conscience. And one of the pastors, they asked, how come there is evil in the conscience? Usually people think conscience is something good. So when they heard that you have to cast away evil in your conscience, he couldn't understand it. So he let him realize it that through the word of God. Hebrews 10:22, let us draw near with a sincere heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. So conscience is everyone's, people's standard of judgment. But when you consider the process of forming this conscience, you know that it's different from person to person, age to age, generation to generation, area by area, in different countries. So, in this conscience are truths, but actually there are more untruths. So, just with your conscience, you can't judge what is right or wrong. That is why you have to cast away the thought that you are right. Only then can you realize the evil in your conscience. If you think you are right, you can never realize the evil in your conscience. So to realize the evil in conscience, let us cast away the thought that we are right and pray fervently and ask for the help of the Holy Spirit. So after you cast away the evil in your conscience, does that mean you sold all that you had? No. You have to cast away even the evil in your nature. The evil in the nature is the evil that is placed deep inside your heart. So it's like it's evil of the nature or evil in your life force. And this evil is very difficult to realize and very difficult to cast away. That is why God refines you for this. It was the case with Job. He lost all his possessions and children and everything all at once, but he still gave thanks to God. But when he had boils all over his body, his evil deep in his nature was revealed. God loved this honest man Job, and to make him a man of spirit, God allowed this trial, and through this trial he became a man of spirit. But hearing this, you shouldn't misunderstand that to go into spirit and Holy Spirit, everyone has to go through this kind of trial given to Job. You don't have to worry about that. The father who wants his children to enjoy more things and more happiness will work harder. From early morning to late at night, he has to sometimes work hard in the company, sometimes he has to go with very bad bosses. He has to put up with persecutions of harsh treatments of the bosses. Sometimes, he just works hard for the family, so the family can enjoy more things. It's the same when the senior pastor is filling up the measure of justice for us, because he sacrificed for us. We don't have to go through the trials like Job. But when we trust him and rely on his grace, we can go into spirit and Holy Spirit. So as we cast away untruths one by one, the soul will be broken and the spirit will be revived even more. As the spirit is revived, they can live by the word of God, following the desires of the Holy Spirit, and as in 2 Peter 1:4, they can participate in the divine nature. So when we cultivate the heart of Jesus Christ, it means we sold everything and bought the field that with the hidden treasure. So how did our shepherd throw away all that he had? Since he met the Lord, he sought all the ways to live by the word of God earnestly. When he first accepted the Lord, he didn't know the word of God very well. So to understand God's will, he attended all revival meetings. And he practiced everything he heard as soon as he heard. And as he was reading the Bible, whatever was not, whatever pangs of conscience he had, he wrote them down on the note. And he wrote down the commands of God, and whatever things he couldn't keep among the commands of God, and he prayed about them until he could cross out everything. And because he believed that the word of God telling us to be perfect as God is perfect, he prayed until he cast away, pulled out all the untruths from his heart. And he sometimes fasted 3 days. And if it didn't work, he fasted seven days and 10 days. And later he said, it's easier to cast away untruths than to be fasting. So, as he prayed and fasted until he cast away all these sins in the heart and even in the thoughts, in 3 years he could cast away all the untruths from his heart. Dear brothers and sisters, from 2011, God began to check our measures of faith, and many of you have been longing to be on the rock and to go into spirit and Holy Spirit. And as you couldn't receive the measure that you wanted, is there anybody who is discouraged or disheartened? One of the members recently was telling me that she thought she couldn't. It's not possible for her. But I couldn't ask her right at the moment. But I want to ask this question to her and to me and to all of us. How much have you really tried to be changed? Once I spoke for a worship service, gave a message for a small group service. Because at that time also they were longing to get this message. So they were impatient. So I asked them to receive this measure, to be changed, to make your measure grow up. I asked them, is there anybody who fasted more than one day, and was there anybody who made a vowed prayer to do that? And there was one person out of 10 who did any of that. And even our shepherd, who had very special heart, he had prayed so many nights and fasted so many days. And because of the measure of justice filled up by the shepherd, we receive a lot of we are ahead of in the game so much, but we still have to do what we have to do. So in the second prayer point of this year, the senior pastor emphasized on the needs for us to be changed. So let us show more action. to change ourselves. So in this parable, I thought this farmer was honest. If he was unrighteous, he could have just hidden the treasure and just wait for the night to come and just dig it out when nobody was around. But you can't have this kind of, you can't have the treasure with this kind of unrighteous method. 2 Timothy 2:5 says, also if anyone competes as an athlete, he does not win the prize unless he competes according to the rules. So to possess the treasure, you have to pay the price. As God said, by the sweat of your face you will eat bread. You can't get anything without the sweat of our brow. Dear brothers and sisters, and to sell all that we have to realize how precious it is, how precious the treasure is. So, you know, you say you are selling your all that you have. Oh, you think, oh, bed and blankets, I have to have them. Of the furniture I'm familiar with, I can't sell them. Then it means you can't buy the field. Because this treasure is so much more precious, incomparable to anything you have right now. Also, if you don't know that there is a treasure in the field, or if you can't believe it, you can't sell all that you have. You have to believe that there is resurrection, and you have to believe that there is heaven. Then you can sell all that you have. But if you don't believe it in your heart, you can't really sell everything you have. 1 Corinthians 15:19 says, if we have hoped in Christ in this life only, we are of all men most to be pitied. Without heavenly kingdom, you know, believers are to be most to be pitied. And especially our senior pastor will be the most to be pitied. But we have so much evidence to prove that there is heaven. There is so much evidence that is shown by our shepherd. Also, our shepherd's life itself proves that there is heaven so clearly. Above all, we heard a lot about the dwelling places and the life of heaven in so much more detail than anybody else through the messages of the shepherd. The Apostle Paul, just by seeing the paradise in third heaven once, he didn't say anything. Any hardship or sufferings was hard at all. All his life, he considered everything rubbish, all that he had, knowledge and fame and honor, because he saw the treasure in heaven. There was much more worth, much more that was worth much more than all that he had. And we know not only about paradise, but first, second, and third kingdoms of heaven and New Jerusalem too, because senior pastor knows the beauty of New Jerusalem so very well. He's asking us, begging us to go there with him. And we shouldn't just, and the Lord also said, do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you, for I go to prepare a place for you. And later, that where I am, there you may be also. And this voice of the Lord, I hope you will be able to hear it, even at this moment. Let me conclude the message. Through this message about treasure hidden in the field, I told you that heaven is hidden in our heart, and we remember the joy of realizing this heaven. But to know this truth doesn't mean we can possess heaven. We have to practice it. Practice the Word of God. So to be able to practice the Word of God, we have to pray. And to cultivate Holy Spirit and possess heaven, we have to sell all that we have. Let me tell you a testimony of a person to wrap up this message. There was a sister who bought some warm blankets for winter. And after buying that, she was reminded of her parents. And she was reminded of the blankets that her parents were using for more than 10 years. So she wanted to buy one for them. But thinking of her salary, it wasn't enough to buy a good one. So she went back to the store again to buy them a little relatively cheaper one. But she liked the one which was very expensive. And thinking of her own salary and what she wanted to buy and what she needed to buy, after buying this good blanket, she has to be saving for so many months. So she hesitated. But she wanted to give something good for her old parents. So she bought them and sent it to her parents. And later, her mother called and, "Oh, this blanket is so good. It's light and soft and so warm. And you know, inside, it, I feel so good." And after receiving this phone call, she had the pressure that she has to be saving for a couple of months. But all that worries went away, and she was so happy because she loved her parents. Her work was not, her burden was not burdensome anymore. But she was only joyful. And furthermore, she began to think about the Father God. Just because she loved her parents, when her parents were happy, the burden was lifted. And she was happy. And we, and our Father God is the true Father of our spirit and body. And we say we love the Father, but we say, "Oh, it's hard to cast away sins. It's hard to fulfill the duties." Of course, she didn't say them, but she was sometimes thinking it, and she felt sorry for that. If she worked a little harder, she could have pleased God a lot more. And if she tried a little harder, she could have comforted the senior pastor a little bit more. And sometimes her face was not bright, and it caused the senior pastor to be worried. And she was very sorry for that. So seeing her parents happy, she was happy too. So from now, she decided to work harder, even in difficult situations, to please God the Father and her parents and the senior pastor too. So of course, it's not very easy to cast away all the hundreds. But if you really love the Father, you're more than capable. You're more than able. And if you realize that, if you realize how much you actually love, how much the Father God loves you, you can overcome anything. You know, heaven is like, had many parables. It's like a mustard seed, or heaven is like a merchant who is trying to find a good pearl. So everything about heaven, you know, heaven is so good, and it's expressed with so many parables because God wants us to know how good it is, how precious it is, and God wants us to come in there. 1 Timothy 2:4 says, God desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. It's the earnest love of the Father God for us. And let us remember the love of God and love Him back and sell all that you have. And I hope you will be able to possess the best dwelling place in heaven. This is all I prepared, and I was kind of hurrying up, I thought, but it's over quite soon. But there were a lot of deep spiritual things, but I believe you understand them very well. And in this message that treasure is hidden in our heart, it means the dead spirit is revived and we have the heaven in our heart, and we can have the joy of feeling that the heaven is here. And just because we know that there is heaven, just because we know there is heaven, we can go there, but we have to practice the word. And to practice the word, we have to pray so that we can receive the strength to practice the word. So when you are blessed by the messages, if you are not praying, I hope you will begin to pray, which is spiritual Christian life. And to gain the treasure, selling all that you have, means that because of the corruption of, since the corruption of men, soul became our master, and our dead spirit can be revived fully only when we break this soul. So to break the soul, we have to sell all that we have. And selling all that we have means we have to cast away all the works of the flesh and things of the flesh, and even the evil in our conscience, and even the evil in our nature. And to get rid of these things, we have to realize how precious the treasure is that we found. And to understand how precious this treasure is, we have to believe that there is certainly heaven, and our shepherd has proven it, shown it through so much evidence, through the messages and so much evidence. And lastly, after telling you this, to practice all these things, we have to love God so that we can practice all these things. And let us pray together thinking about this message. We'll receive the prayer for the sick of the senior pastor on video. Lay your hands on your sick parts and infirmities, and for those who are not sick, lay your hands on your chest for your heart's desires. Hallelujah. Almighty God, the Father who loves us, lay your hands on all believers who are receiving this prayer now. Show your works that transcend time and space on those who are receiving this prayer through GCN Internet and Satellite TV, in branch churches and local sanctuaries, and all other children of God around the world. Give them the faith to believe from heart, drive away negative thoughts and doubts, and drive away all tests and trials. From head to toe, all entrails, joints, nerves, tissues, and cells, whatever the sick part may be, burn them with the fire of the Holy Spirit and the original light. In the name of Jesus Christ, I command the enemy, devil, and Satan, all diseases, germs, and viruses, and infirmities go away. Light come. Scorch all their terminal and incurable diseases with the fire of the Holy Spirit. Drive away all endemic diseases, including malaria. All contagious diseases, including cold, flu, and fever, go away. Protect them from all kinds of germs and viruses. Heal them of all stomach, lung, liver, breast, uterine, and intestinal cancers. AIDS, leukemia, cerebral apoplexy, high and low blood pressure, diabetes, thyroid problems, and heart, lung, and women's diseases, and all inflammations go away. Heal them of polio, stroke, arthritis, and herniated discs. Back pain, headache, neuralgia, and all other pains disappear. Epilepsy, autism, depression, neurosis, and other mental diseases go away. All kinds of paralysis, be loosened, get up, walk, and leap. Let the eyes see well, let the ears hear well. Let the blind come to see, the deaf to hear, and the mute to speak. Heal them of after effects of all kinds of accidents. Fix their broken bones. Restore them from burns. Let the heat and burning sensation go away. Father, let there be no scars remaining. Be cleansed from all kinds of drug addictions, poisoning, and substance abuse. Let the dead nerves, tissues, and cells be regenerated. Bring the dead back to life. Give them the blessings of conception. Receive the blessing of conception. In the name of Jesus Christ, I command the enemy, devil, and Satan, the ruler of the power of the air, the evil forces of heavenly places, and their servants, go away. Go away, evil, unclean, false, and deceitful spirits, separating spirits and all forces of darkness. Loosen the bonds of wickedness. Darkness, go away, light come. Father God, give them the strength to cry out in prayer and the power to cast off sins and become sanctified. As their souls prosper, let all things go well with them and let their families be evangelized. Protect them from all kinds of accidents and disasters throughout this week, and bless them to lead a prosperous life without any problems. With the fiery walls of the Holy Spirit, heavenly host, and angels, and with your blazing eyes, Protect all your children, their families, workplaces, and business fields. Give students wisdom and understanding, and give them enthusiasm and fervor to study hard. Keep their hearts and minds from worldly things, and let them love God more fervently. Whether your children eat or drink or in whatever they do, let them do it all to live a life glorifying the Father God. Let them be able to testify about the living God, saying, I've met and experienced God and received His answers and blessings. Father God, thank you. Be glorified alone. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.